Tonight on Big Head Mode, we are talking Dungeons & Dragons. We're talking Video Games Live, the live musical event, and video game music. What game music do we like? What game music don't we like? I'm joined on the show by Tom McClurkin. Tom.
Hello, Ben.
Yeah, that was very enthusiastic. And Tegan Jones from Geek Bomb. Tegan.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey there. You guys ready to talk all about Demvidia games?
Always.
Always and forever. Please, someone help me. This is my life. That's all coming up on 2RRR's one and only gaming show, Big Head Mode, 88.5 FM. That's right, you are listening to Big Head Mode. I am the host of this wonderful gaming show, Ben O'Brien. Tegan, Tom. There's a nice alliteration there. That
it was beautiful.
Till now. Tegan and Tom, thanks for coming on, guys. Thanks for coming on.
No worries.
Tegan, we did something last Sunday night that, as a nerd, I'm both embarrassed to say I've never done before, but also I'm embarrassed now to say that I have done Dungeons & Dragons.
You're a monster. I can't believe that this was your first time. Your D&D cherry.
I know.
Rolled and popped.
I know. Except, like, Dungeons & Dragons, it's weird. Whoever you talk to, people look at it differently. For instance, that was your reaction. You've never played it before. This is totally something that would be up your alley. It's gaming. It's role-playing. It's fun with friends, drinking, having a laugh. You know, you get a similar shocked reaction if you tell someone, say, for instance, a parent or a family member after you've played it. You get that look, really? Really?
Oh.
Is that the direction your life has gone?
You're in your 20s, Ben.
Like, right off the bat, anyone who hasn't played Dungeons & Dragons but is, obviously I'm assuming if you're here and you're listening to us, you're a nerd of some degree. You might not think you're a nerd. That just means you're a nerd in denial.
Okay? Yeah.
But if you're listening to this, you're a geek, you're a nerd, you're a loser. You're a lovable chump.
Wear it proudly.
Exactly. Whatever you are. But if you have similar reservations to me, I would say don't. If you love RPGs, if you love anything character-based, if you just like friends and having a good time, like Dungeons & Dragons, it's changed my life.
I know. And
it was
you're
amazing.
So happy now.
What?
He's done it once.
He won't shut up about it in the best possible way. No, it's amazing.
It genuinely has changed the way I look at other games.
All right, buddy.
It makes regular role-playing games seem so limited because the whole gist of Dungeons & Dragons is you can freaking do anything, and as long as it checks but with the die or whatever or it relates to a thing, the dungeon master will be like, yeah, sure. Also, actually, point of issue, I'm still not quite comfortable with referring to someone as my dungeon master.
No, you have to just go on that journey, Ben. You just need to embrace it. Embrace that dungeon master.
It still feels a little bit weird. And that's the point where my mum raised both her eyebrows rather than just the one that were initially raised. I was like, my son has a dungeon master. This is a conversation I never thought I'd have to have.
As long as you don't reply to him with like, yes, my dungeon master.
Yes, master. What is it you require of me?
Roll that dice, master.
But we've talked extensively on this show about the level of overcommitment which we already do to video games. In terms of the character role-playing we will do in single-player games like Skyrim or what have you, or even multiplayer experiences like GTA, planning our own heist, that kind of stuff. And it's like an extension of just great role-playing.
And the great thing is, I don't think a lot of people know unless they're really into it. It doesn't just limit you to D&D. There's so much more out there as well, like Call of Cthulhu. It's not just that sort of fantasy-based stuff as well. You can do pretty much anything, and it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you really can do anything. It feels a bit like, that sort of the character you'd see in a kid's show that's like, remember, children, you're only limited by your imagination and what you roll in a dice. Sorry, kids, that's a critical miss.
That is a one, children.
Yeah, but it's totally taken. Like, I'm already having... It's like another few weeks before we have session two. And
I know.
I'm having serious D&D withdrawals. I'm like, I need to know what my character is up to. Like, what happened? Yeah. Ronan, the grizzled warrior with a troubled past. When will he resolve it?
Just as a side note, he is basically just Wolverine. That's what Ben's not telling
you. I did base my character on Wolverine. A few key differences. He's more dexterity-based, so he wears light armor. He doesn't have claws or mutant or any advantageous abilities. He's just a guy that's a little bit moody. Yeah, it is funny. Like, I mean, the nature of how open it is can be really daunting. Because especially as my first time, and like, I'm a pretty, I like to think, creative person when it comes to problem solving in this sort of situation. So I came thinking, like, well, the idea of being able to do anything is super overwhelming. Because, like, when do I do that? Like, yeah. What's a turn order? Like, when everyone says, introduce your characters, do you just say, I'm an alien! I've got lasers for hands, you know?
Sometimes you can be a little bit more, I don't know, it's easier to have limitations sometimes,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. But just, like, having the freedom to sell your character. Like, yeah. I made a choice very early on. Yeah, if you want to.
Yeah.
I made a choice very early on when... So we started our campaign on this wagon ride going into town, and everyone sort of went around a circle and introduced themselves. And because I was the moody Wolverine, I made the decision early on that I don't answer anyone. So I just grunted and made a villager appear from somewhere. We went, ooh, that there is Ronan. You don't want to be messing with him. I heard he killed 10 folk with his bare hands. And it just became a thing that I did for like another hour into the game. It's just delivered exposition about my character through you, like useful NPCs that just sort of showed up.
And we won't tell the listeners what you became known for later on in that campaign, Ben.
No, we won't, because I was falsely accused, okay? I was falsely accused. They thought it was weird that a spider who had his arms and legs chopped off, I thought I could take that
adult
and keep it as some kind of web-making device. Yeah, basically, I rolled 20 for MacGyver.
And he started rubbing it all over his body. Admittedly, though, in Ben's defense, I might have charmed the spider first.
That was a weird move for
which
a
bard. Was taken, yeah.
Look, anyway, yeah. I don't want to dwell too heavily in D&D because it does sound baffling to people who haven't done it, but all I will say is if you've got that friend in your life who you know plays it, who's been trying to get you to tag along, you know what? Consider it, because this could be... a slippery slope for you. This could be the beginning of a whole new world of tabletop gaming.
A whole new world of not going out in the world.
But that the five people that you stay indoors with all the time will just become real good friends. You know, you'll make up for seeing less of everyone else in your life by seeing a lot more of just this core group.
Just make up new characters. It's fine.
Yeah, every character's a new friend. That's what I always say. That's why I've re-rolled Skyrim like 30 times. Oh, God. So what about you two? I mean, Tom, have you been playing anything in particular?
What? I haven't even...
Where am I?
Sorry, have I thrown you under the bus by addressing you 7 minutes into this radio show?
Which is about video games.
So far out of that conversation.
Okay, skipping over. Tegan.
I've just been playing D&D with you, Ben. That's all
That's
I'm about.
That's all you've been playing?
Yeah.
You've got a lot of Witcher to get back to. I know
I
that.
Do. I know. I need to get back. I'm in the middle of moving, man. Come
and
on.
I learned a couple things.
Mm.
And I'm going to dub you in a little bit. And it's only fair, because last time you were on the show, you and Carlo attacked me for my love of customizing in games.
I don't remember any of this.
You have never played Zelda.
No, I haven't.
Nor. Yeah.
Anti-Zelda
Tom,
Club.
You might want to just retract that fist bump you just did. Nor have you ever played Halo.
I haven't. Oh. I know, I'm any a monster. Halo. Oh, there you go. I just lost my ally.
There's
there it
the
is.
Judgment.
Damn it, Ben, I thought we were
Tom,
friends.
Tom has left your party. Tom disproves.
Yeah. It's not a party anymore.
Mm-mm. No, party Mm-mm. of one.
Oh.
So that's got to be rectified.
Yeah, you did say that you were going to rectify that for me.
I did.
Yeah.
Are you going
to mainly because I've been looking
yourself?
No, I'm a monster. No, I'm not going to defend. I'm a piece of shit.
yes. Yeah, yeah. Look, it's easily rectified, and I mean, I think I'm thinking Clockwork Orange. Lock you in a basement.
No Beethoven, please.
And then maybe, just maybe, at the end of it all, you could be the chosen one. You could be the one to finally understand what the hell happened in those games. Any of them, anything. Just explain anything away, and that'd be real peachy. Let's see. Coming up, the other stuff we're talking about in the show, of course, I mentioned at the very start of the show, we're going to be talking video game music. Because you and I got to see video games live last night,
yes.
Which is we played an interview with Tommy Tallarico, who game composer, created this event, played a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Basically just this huge live music event full of symphony versions of gaming music and it was pretty incredible.
Gets you right in the feels.
It really does. So we'll talk about that. We'll do a sort of an event review,
I like it,
if you will, of that. And because of that, we're talking about gaming music. And now we've included in the gaming music bracket, it's sort of gaming sound effects as well. Musical stings, and it could be anything from like, Tommy made a really good point in the show last night. He said, the difference between game music and film music is that when you watch a film, you're watching the events happen, and the music is sort of the background to something you're passively watching, whereas in a game, you are that character. So when the music kicks in, it's sort of punctuating you. It's like your music. So when you hear that music, it can just trigger really strong memories. And so we had a good chat about, like, you know, anything from achievement noise.
Yeah.
You know, anything that just triggers little moments of happiness, or whatever your personal favorite or least favorite, most stressful, most hated, what have you. Any of that we're going to do. But look, before you do that, let's crack into some music. And speaking of Video Games Live, that's where all the music from tonight is from. So this is a live version of Castlevania by Tommy Tallarico and Video Games Live. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. We'll be back after this to talk gaming news. There we go. Well done, guys.
What a good show. Oh, good.
Bravo. Just picture me with my sort of opera spectacles as I look down.
And me throwing my panties on stage.
Bye.
Yes. What you don't know is Ben's dressed as the Monopoly guy right now.
Well, time to go. Toothpick. Drive with my tiny car. Oh, I passed go. All right. That was a fun show. I was reliving it with that song.
Yeah.
He played that.
It was amazing.
Yeah. It was great. It was a great way to start the second half of the show. Yeah. High energy.
That's what I was going to say.
And he sort of started, every other song he sort of introduced, that he started playing.
Yes.
And was like, are you ready? And did all the hype
and we
up.
Were ready.
And then you went bang, straight into Castlevania. Great series. Let's crack into some news. And this is virtually hot off the presses. Tegan, you were reading on the way here that Battlefield, there is a new Battlefield on the way for next year.
Oh, yeah.
After,
oh, yes.
After Battlefront, of course, which is this year. So, Tegan, you read that article.
I did read that article. So, from the sounds of it, Ben, there's going to be some little bit of a cheeky 10-on-10 team play. And I think it was that after 10 minutes it ends as well, right?
No, this no, no that's
wrong one.
Battlefront. That's for Battlefront.
Oh, see, I wanted to talk about Battlefront. What's everyone else talking about?
I was talking. Didn't you read there was a new Battlefield game?
No, I'm just on Battlefront. Mate. I'm just excited for Star Wars. Excited.
We did this. Okay, let's start with this. Look, all we really know is there's a new Battlefield, but surprise, surprise, this is cool. A mode that's sort of been teased out about from Battlefront comes out a few months from now.
That's the news. That's you're leading with a story, and then later on
I'm just going to throw it out there and let's go with it.
I'm sorry, I just got really excited for Star Wars. It happens.
Can I throw Tegan out there?
No, I'm sorry, Tom.
Okay, you're the biggest Battlefield player, so yeah. Since we brought it up, do you have any interest in a new Battlefield?
Nah, let's talk about Battlefront.
See, I was right all along.
Oh, yeah, okay.
See, Tegan had the right idea.
There's one thing I got to say about that, which is how cool is it that they're not doing it every couple of years.
Yes.
They screwed up Battlefield 4 and Battlefield 5 or whatever it's going to be called. It's, you know, might actually get the work in it. That it's
a bit of attention, you know.
I mean, the main thing, and the thing I hope it is, because we've got Battlefront this year.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Last year was Hardline. It was this year too, right?
Yeah.
Was Hardline this
year? My God, that's two Battlefields.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was March. Yeah. It was delayed, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it
yeah,
was,
right.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for a Bad Company. I love Bad Company games so much. And I'm a little fatigued from numbered Battlefield games.
Mm.
Bad Company had a bit more personality, and also just the multiplayer hasn't been as good as Bad Company 2.
I disagree, but okay.
Yeah, but you're wrong mostly, Tom. So I'm going to assume you're wrong in this
game.
I'm just
going to
sit back here. Bad Company 2 had great maps, great variety, and just the campaign was also fun.
Going to chew your throat out.
Tom's so aggressive. Yeah, Tom, did you enjoy the campaign of Battlefield 3?
Yeah. No.
No. You didn't play it.
Did I?
Okay, all right, let's move on to Battlefront.
Yeah!
I'm so glad, Tom, that you made sure we stopped to talk about that. Tom's now in the fetal position.
Rocking back and forth.
I didn't say anything in the first section.
Jesus.
Jeez, here we go. Right, back to Battlefront. So, you know, we already know a lot of modes. This is a deathmatch mode.
Oh, yeah.
10-on-10 deathmatch with a 100 kill limit or a 10-minute time limit, whichever comes first. And I like that.
I'm so keen for that. So, so keen. And I mean, you guys were talking last week about games that were going to ruin friendships, and I think this is going to be one of them.
The deathmatch. Well, I think the most impressive thing about this deathmatch is, so like the other modes, Rebels versus Imperial factions, all that. Mm. But it seems like, according to this this report I'm reading on Polygon, that the maps are going to be specific to this game mode.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to be like you're playing the same maps you play the other game types on, which I think has been a problem with deathmatch mode in previous Battlefield games, is that, like, I think when they added it on to... Or there was one mode where they added in a bunch of close quarters maps, and it was way more effective for certain game types. And yeah, some game types... Like, Battlefield maps can be so large. It's not always a one-size-fits-all. I mean, there's, especially in Battlefield 3, I can think of at least a couple of maps, maybe the Metro or some, where they took a smaller section of the larger map to make that a deathmatch map, and it was so unbalanced. There are just so many choke points and kill zones.
Certainly when it's, specifically designed with that as the intention.
So I'm hoping this means that we're going to have some, like, nice, tight... level design for deathmatch. And the levels sound cool, man. They sound cool.
They sound amazing.
Find yourself among Tatooine's dusty canyons or inside ice caves on Hoth. This person says their favorite is the verticality of Tatooine fighting by the Sandcrawler.
That would be amazing. I can't wait to kill Tom there. It's going to be beautiful.
Look, you can kill Tom anywhere in...
clean the studio.
Maybe in this very studio. Tom looks panicked.
And it's violent when I say it, huh?
Well, to be fair, Tom, when you say it, you're usually sharpening a large knife.
Flashing a shiv.
And just making direct eye contact. Okay. This is I'm skipping that story. That's boring. Sorry, Nintendo. You're out.
Just Dying Light. Talk about something else.
Dying Light is getting an awesome-looking expansion. Like, that was a great game. We talked very highly about it on the show. They're getting an expansion that apparently is adding a new playable area, a new map that is meant to be as large as every... Like, as one single map, it's the same size as all of the previous areas from the original campaign.
All of them.
Combined. Wow. And... The original game had two separate large areas, so to combine that is pretty extensive.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to be less detailed, like, because the big thing they're adding is vehicles, so it's going to be more open spaces. And look, I'll spin this computer around, put a screenshot there. Obviously, it's irrelevant to you listeners, but I'll post on the Facebook. It's looking very, a little bit State of Decay. You know, you're looking at a sort of grassy fields, a bit of... farmland in the background, some fences. Why, like, you'll see those zombies coming from a long way away.
What Ben's saying is this is, what, twice as big now, but three times as empty? Is that correct?
I guess so. But, I mean, I think it's all about what the gameplay is like. Because, I mean, the original Dying Light was all about parkour. So this, clearly, you're not going to be doing much parkour. But I don't think that's... It seems like they're going for more of a bit of a Mad Max sort of thing. They're calling it technically an expansion, not just DLC. And they've done it deliberately to give the game a new flavor, which I think is really cool. Because a lot of the time when a game is surprisingly successful, which that game was, the developers go, well, let's just keep doing what we would, like, let's make more and just chuck it out there. You know, here's more dungeons and more enemies and more weapons. And they've actually gone, let's add something new.
Yeah, let's try something different.
Is part of that problem that, like, DLCs normally... You know, you have a game and then it's gone really well, so let's release a DLC, and that DLC is zombies, but zombies is already in the game. So.
That's right, couldn't go in that direction.
Let's add a human mode. It's just regular Nazis, not Nazi zombies this time. It's refreshing for a game. But look, that's one to watch, I think. It's got me excited. I loved that game.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
It got a lot of things right that Dead Island just did not. And as we know, we're not going to see another Dead Island now for a little while. If ever. Did you miss that news, Tom?
I did.
The studio that was going to make it ain't going to make it no more.
Fired, son.
Yeah. Fired or did they leave?
I thought they were let go, but I could be wrong. I apologize if I'm wrong about that.
Well, I don't know. You might be right. I'm going to say Tegan's right.
Yay!
Listeners, if she's wrong, send all your abuse to at Tegan.
Jesus. Thanks, guys.
That's radio, Tegan. Yeah. You put it out there.
Shit.
Oh, damn. Here's a weird one. Speaking of zombies, you guys remember a classic zombie game on the Wii U, Zombie U?
I never played it, heard of it.
That's the correct answer to that one. I never played it. It's, oddly enough, getting re-released on PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Why?
It's arriving digitally on August 18th, so like a few weeks from now.
Okay.
Of course, they've lost U. They've lost the U because it's not on the Wii U anymore, so now it's just Zombie with an
zombie.
I. Very creative.
Zombie eye.
Is it just one zombie in the whole game? Like, that's it? Just one?
Hey, guys. Just a ghoul from Fallout. But I played that game. I played the demo, at least.
Mm.
It didn't grab me, like, the novelty for me. It was a game on the Wii U.
Mm.
No, one of the cool hooks was that, like, when you died, you respawned as a new character, and your old character was now a zombie.
Yeah. Okay, I can get behind that. That was cool.
I thought that was a cool mechanic.
It was a cool idea, and just never delivered for me, because you never got a sense of who your character was anyway, so all that mattered is it was this enemy out there you could kill who had your loot.
I kind of like the finality of that, though. That's kind of cool. Like, it's too bad. Like, no respawning for you, son.
Mm. Yeah, that was cool. And maybe they've managed to refine it with this
story
new
stuff.
An RPG fan.
Nobody listens to that anyway.
The thing is, I don't think you're gonna get like
a zombie game.
Ubisoft has been super tight-lipped though about what they've actually added to this. So, I mean, whatever you liked about the original version, I hope you're still keen on that, because that sounds like that's all that's gonna be there. It's gonna be the same game minus a U on the title. Is what it sounds like. Because if there were new features, they'd mention them. This game comes out in 3 weeks.
No, they're just like, oh, here, have the game.
Yeah, game. Now run away. Like, what they've done is, this is like the video game industry equivalent of like doing a knock and run. They've just rung the doorbell and left this game on the front doorstep and then just bolted away. That's our game, bye. Like what Activision did with the Prototype re-release. Prototype 1 and 2. It's like, this game's out now, bye.
Bye.
But wait, what's the game like? No,
nope.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Hard pass.
I'm around the corner now. Yeah, so look, it's a weird one. It's a weird one. I guess I'll play it. That's my endorsement. I guess I'll go there.
It's high recommendation.
Maybe. I don't know. Should we play some more music?
Yeah.
This is the Tetris medley again from Video Game Live.
Woo.
We're going to come back right after this. You're in Big Head Mode. Triple R, 88.5 FM.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
That's right, Big Head Mode. Let's talk gaming news, guys. We got a lot talking to you two about your different gaming music. Gaming music, I'm no stranger to it from doing this bloody show. In fact, gaming music is the one thing that always frustrates me, because I've got to keep finding new music, and obviously...
What are you talking about? You're just telling us
how... What? I played Castlevania 5 times. I didn't say I was good at it, Tom. And so, you know, when I think of, like, what's my favorite gaming music, it's like, well, why don't I just look at what music I played on the show last week? Because it's Guile's theme and, like, Misk. But you guys had some great answers for your stuff.
Thank you.
I hadn't thought of, and it made me, like, it just made me appreciate how everyone loves different things about games. Like, gaming music, you know, it's connected to your nostalgia, to your favorite gaming memories, to your least favorite gaming memories, dare I say. Tegan, you had a great one.
Oh, God.
One that causes you stress to this day. Does this sound familiar? Oh no, Tegan. You've only got so much air left. You're running out of oxygen. What is going to happen to you? Sonic, no! Sonic! Sonic! Oh, that's the sound of a hedgehog drowning, Tegan.
Tegan's dead now.
Tegan.
Why would you do that to me? Freaking post-traumatic stress. God. Why?
Gotta get the ball rolling.
Jesus.
That, of course, was in... Which Sonic? Was Sonic all of them? Or was it
Sonic? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That was such a stressful... I think drowning music or drowning games in general.
Like
just water levels.
Yeah,
always
definitely.
The worst.
Anything underwater.
Very stressful. Although it does mean that one of my favorite sounds in all of video games is the little... Sonic taking the little air bubble. It made me so happy.
That sort of...
Whoop.
Yeah. Funnily enough, also Pingu from the popular claymation series. It's great. You had another one. You had another one that I liked. That's very unique.
Oh, you can do this again.
Very unique.
Toasty.
Well, because the Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
Less music, but great nonetheless. Yeah. Great nonetheless. Accompanied, of course, by the developer, Ed Boon, I think his name's... Little pixelated face popping up on the screen as he said it.
Yep.
So good on you, Boonie.
Mate.
There's so much great stuff. I mean, the ones that cause stress are the worst, I think.
Yeah.
Because it can be like, it gets so effective that all you need to do is just hear it.
Why? Why are you doing this to me? Why?
I'm getting the scary one out of the way. Oh, God. You feel an edge? Tom's been... Tom, put the gun down. Tom, no. Tom, it's just a sound effect. Okay, it's gone, Tom.
I was waiting for Boomer.
Boomer. I need pills over here.
Oh, I'm really... I'm genuinely stressed out now. I don't like this at all.
I feel bad.
You don't.
Yeah, I do. Well, okay, let's unstress you. Tom, you and I... You reminded me of a great one. One that you and I freaking love.
Yeah.
And yeah. To me, this is where music does when like pump up music, like in games, when music shows up that gets you really jazzed,
and it comes up at the right moment. So few games that get this right, you know, like that just naturally work it into an awesome moment and elevate it into this.
This is from Uncharted 3, which had a great way that they included music in the actual competitive multiplayer, and when they were like. Power plays on one team suddenly had the advantage, this music would kick in and you'd go, okay, all right.
Oh my God, that was simultaneous. That was so cute to watch.
It's great.
It's because we played enough of this game. And every time this music came on, we went from, you know, going really, really terribly to like slightly less terribly.
But even if you still go terribly, it's just amazing how well placed and just really like... bold, heroic, or exciting action-driven music can just lift your enthusiasm. Like, you could be sucking and it's just like, here we go. It's sort of like how in the Battlefield games, like, when one team's close to winning, that music starts playing. You know, that's sort of like... that sort of like low drum in the background. And if you're the losing team, you basically give up. You're like, well, I can hear the music. I'm going to lose any minute. If you're like winning, it's just like, oh my God, guys, oh my God, here we go.
Gotta go in and
Johnson,
get that
get in there. Kill that guy. Teabag. It's great. It's super
one of my
effective.
Nicknames.
Johnson?
No.
I gave you the benefit of it. another great one. This is a classic, obviously. Needs very little introduction. This is one where... And I've played many hours in this game. There we go. Come on. If you don't know what it is, you're not playing along, son. This is a game where I would sit on this title screen far longer than I should just to like get... far enough into the great music.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't want to talk. I just want to listen to it.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have played this.
Can we go to a break now?
No. I'll keep the going in the background.
Get your pants back on, Tom.
Keep that going in the background. But some music... I don't even know what that one is. Well, you know, some music baffles you.
Yes, it does.
That was that music's called Game Over, apparently.
Oh, if someone can tweet us what that is from, that'd be great.
You know what? Spontaneous competition. If you can identify what this is from, I'll give you a Steam download code to Dungeon League.
Nice.
There we go, listeners. Right. If you can identify, I'll play that sound one more time.
It's a bubble. That's what I want to say.
Tegan, you can't win the prize. Okay, that's not how it
too
works.
Too late. Is that it?
Look, if it is bubble. You win the prize, but also send your abuse to @Tegan
@ Miss Jones and I on Twitter.
So look, tweet us Big Head Mode 2RRR if you know what that is.
And to hurl abuse at Tegan.
And look, if you want to hurl abuse at Tegan, send it to the same address. We'll pass it on.
Wait. That does. As a competition, that doesn't really make sense. If someone gets it, and none of us know who it is.
No, they have to prove it. They have to prove it. Like link us to like
Tom,
YouTube video or something.
There's this thing called the internet,
yeah,
right?
There's things on it.
What?
If they like, I'm not just going to take it at face value. If they say, oh, it's you know, the Monster Attack.
Does that Secret 4, Sound thing?
I'm going to look
it's
it up.
It's from Tomb Raider.
Does that Secret Sound thing even work anymore? Can't people just Kazam things? Or
yeah,
just,
I would think so.
I don't know
yeah.
if you can Kazam, like... tiny like
obscure
2 second sound effects
video game.
Considering it takes last time I used Kazam it takes like 30 minutes to actually register a single song which means you're basically limited to Led Zeppelin drum solos and nothing else. This is another classic one for me, bit of the old GoldenEye 64.
Oh yeah, I'm so glad that you went with this.
It's my hope that people listening right now, this music is triggering things.
Oh yeah,
Good things. Good things.
Not like, because it's GoldenEye. That's the joke, because guns, right, Tom? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good thing. Hopefully it's not like, it doesn't take him back to, like, our last week's show, Destroyed Friendships.
Didn't I suggest that as one of the games that helped destroy my friendships for that, GoldenEye? I'm pretty sure I did.
I don't know. We definitely talked about how it's somehow Tom and I have put together our tattered friendship over the years, because GoldenEye destroyed many afternoons. But look, before we wrap up, I mean, do you guys have any last-minute music? Anything else you're thinking of? Anything else you want to add?
Last night, some of the ones that I really liked was getting Sonic out there. I didn't think that was going to actually affect me as much, because, you know, it's Sonic. Yeah. It's like, you know, cartoony sort of game, but I think it was just a nostalgia value that I was welling up
nostalgia
a bit.
Nostalgia always works, you know? And it was a great game.
Until they started getting to those later ones, and I just tuned out.
Yeah. But look, why don't we talk about the next? Up next, we are going to talk about the old Video Games Live itself. But speaking of, here is another track from Video Games Live. They played this last night to a huge amount of applause. This was a big crowd pleaser with the fans out there who are obsessed with this game, Shadow of the Colossus. We'll be back after this to talk Video Games Live on 2RRR 88.5 FM. This is Big Head Mode. Tom has a rock in his microphone, looking pretty cash. Which is good, Tom. I'm glad you're all out.
I'm trying not to look at Tegan right now.
Tegan and I are going to talk
so
about...
I'm so beautiful.
She just gave me a Chinese burn.
Children, play nice, okay? No. Just remember for a second that we are professionals.
Yes, Tom.
Talking about video games.
You're allowed to use that term anymore.
Professionals.
Professional. Chinese burn.
Oh, I don't know. Let's not talk about it, though.
We're kind of grown up.
Okay. Video Games Live.
So good.
We went there last night.
What was this?
Well, I'll tell you, Tom. This was a huge show too. Two acts of just fully orchestrated video game music. And it was a mix of like some of our favorite songs, some songs that we don't know, like the one we just played, Shadows of the Colossus, but you know, was still to see
beautiful.
Like just it was a great song. Like it was a great way to experience all game music. Stuff from your childhood, stuff from other people's childhood.
Just seeing the reaction, especially to Shadow of the Colossus, was amazing from the crowd. Like, it's just, not having played it myself, I still just got this residual feeling from it because people were so excited.
And just the fun of the event. I mean, Tommy Tallarico, who is video game composer and the creator of this event, said pretty early into the show that, like, you know, they've got an orchestra on stage, but their priority is fun. Like, if you want to yell out and cheer appreciation and go, oh, I love this game, you know, just do it. And he was like, just cheer out whatever you want to cheer out. And that,
it definitely happened. Like, when the Warcraft music started, I leant over to Ben and Lee from Geekbomb and said, someone's going to yell out for the Horde. And then, like, immediately went over, for the Horde! I'm like, there it is. There it is. Yeah.
And at one point, someone yelled out, do the Mario! And to Tommy's credit, he just started going, dot, dot, dot. And then he pointed to the audience and everyone else goes, dot, 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 which is great.
It's like,
it's fun that he knows that he's got this crowd, you know, that will respond to that. Like, you know, like, I mean, it's something I guess that we've tapped into slightly in bonus stage, but when you have a room of really passionate gamers, you know what they're all there for. Like, they're outdoors for starters. They've left their homes, they've gone to a live event. You know what they're there for. You know they love the stuff you're talking about, and you can just have fun with that nostalgia. And they do. Like, in between all of the songs, they had a lot of little funny videos. Like, they had this series called Video Game Versus, and it was something like, you know, Mortal Kombat versus Donkey Kong.
That was hilarious.
And it starts like a normal game of Donkey Kong, and then Scorpion comes out and just pulls Donkey Kong down with a, get over here!
Get over
beat
here!
Beat him to death, and then Peach starts going, oh, thank you! Pulls Peach down, rips her head off. Lots of fun stuff like that. Frogger in GTA.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah. Which, look, I'm not going to even say what that is. Just imagine what the combination of GTA and Frogger would be, and that's what you got. And then a lot of great music. I mean, I tweeted sometime during the day my top three songs that I wanted to see them play. And he played two of them.
Yeah.
Some great Earthworm Jim tracks, which is to be expected because Tommy Tallarico did the music for Earthworm Jim. There was a, what was the other one of those? Guile's theme. Fighter 2, Guile's theme. That was there. You mentioned great Sonic music. It's amazing how the right bit of music just triggers that emotional response because we all just got very quiet when Mass Effect came on. It was just that beautiful main Mass Effect theme from the opening of the first game, you know. And, of course, we should mention that for each song, they have a big projector screen and there's sort of montages of the game footage. And so you just like force it, you know, this great Mass Effect sweeping melody with sort of synth. And then there's Morden, there's Thane, all your friends, all your buddies up there. Just it triggers those memories.
Yeah. And it's just fully immersive. It was amazing. And I found that when they did Chrono Trigger as well, I don't know if anyone actually saw me at any point. I wasn't even looking. I just had my eyes closed and was just experiencing it. It was just that beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that was a good example for me of like, I never played the Chrono Trigger games, but the moment you hear a whole room go woo, you think, well, this has got to be something special.
Yeah.
And then like, I mean, that's something to think about too, like hearing video game music out of the context of the game itself and just appreciating it as a great bit of music is pretty special, because especially when games are a medium that still aren't really viewed as an art form.
As someone who wasn't there though, is that what's happening? Is that okay, here's this fantastic wealth and depth of music that we can explore and enjoy? Or is it just people sitting around going, oh, hey, I know that song because I've played that game and I feel kind of special and I'm going to enjoy this?
Not necessarily. I think we've more
the old
school.
Is it just like a covers
No.
It would, some, no. No, it wouldn't say cover band.
Old school stuff like the Sonic and that, I definitely think so. But when Skyrim came on, I think that would move anyone.
Yeah, I think it definitely depends on the song. Because, I mean, it's trickier, I do think, with some songs, for games that already have orchestrated soundtracks. Like, they played Halo, for instance. And Halo's a great soundtrack, but it's already a symphony, you know, orchestrated soundtrack. Yeah. So it did just sound quite literally like you were just listening to the actual soundtrack. You know, whereas a song like the Street Fighter, like, hearing what is traditionally not a symphony song in symphony music makes it special.
With a choir as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I think part of that, like, I was not underwhelmed, but, like, there are a couple of songs that I would have expected to blow me away a bit more. And I think that that's probably because, this was at the Enwall Theatre in Newtown. I don't think that's the best venue for this kind of classical sort of instrument.
Should have been like what they were doing with Pokemon at the end of the year and had it at the Opera House.
I think it's crazy it wasn't at the Opera House. Yeah. And I think it would have sold out the Opera House. I mean, and it's not like the Opera House is all, you know, the biggest. Like, there are smaller scale...
Yeah, Lyric Theatre.
Yeah, that just have better acoustics for non-electric instruments.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that they had, like... And this is probably, I think, the biggest weak point of the whole show. They had incredibly distracting and bright lights.
Oh, yeah, like, we were almost having just seizures on the ground by the end of it.
There was one amazing moment, actually, that we should mention. One amazing moment where... someone was playing Guitar Hero, and it was a really exciting moment, but then towards the end, just one spotlight was just a bright white light that was just shining directly at us.
Yeah.
And it wasn't flashing or moving around, it would just occasionally turn on directly on us.
Yeah.
And it just totally took you out of it.
And it was the worst moment, because that guy did not miss a single beat in Expert for Foo Fighters. That was ridiculous.
It was an amazing moment. So there was a competition that they'd set up out in the lobby of the theatre. They had a Guitar Hero set up and people could play it. And, like, you know, I guess no one realised that they were keeping track of who were getting the highest scores, and they took down the names of the guy who got the highest score. And so at the end of the first half, Tommy Tallarico brings out a piece of paper. Hey, this guy, who I believe his name was... no, I shouldn't say his name, just in case he doesn't want to be on the radio. Anyway, I want to give him credit, because he was phenomenal.
He was amazing.
So he got called out, and he said, you know, come see me in the interval. We're going to do something with you in the second half. Second half, he calls him on stage. He's got a Guitar Hero around his thing, and he says, you're going to play this song, Foo Fighters Pretender.
Yeah, which is a rare one. Like, it was
a downloaded song. It was a very difficult song.
Yeah.
You're going to play it on hard while I play the real guitar, and, you know, you're accompanied by this entire orchestra. And this guy goes... shakes his head, points his finger up in the air and goes, come on, mate, harder. I can do it on Expert. And Tommy's like, and the audience is like, yeah, do it on Expert. Tommy's like, I mean, it's really hard already, but okay. He, like, yells
backstage.
And
he had to get 500,000 points as well.
He had to get 500,000 points to win this prize, basically, which was, you know, $1,000 of merch. Mm. And so he starts a song, and bit by bit, you know, 100-point streak, 200-note streak, hasn't missed one. And then by the time it gets to about 500-note streak, everyone is like,
oh, shit.
Okay, this guy's incredible. Then it keeps going, 800, 900, cracks 1,000, and the audience is just going wild. Everyone is screaming and whooping and cheering. He 100%ed that entire song.
Ridiculous.
I think he smashed the score. Mm. It ended up being like 1,600 notes or something intense.
It was huge, yeah.
And
He was the people's champion.
Finished the song, guitar in the air. He was thrilled. Like, that was the greatest moment of this guy's life.
Yeah.
And damn, because I mean, like, that's the feeling that everyone wants to emulate anytime they play Guitar Hero. They like think that they could be on a stage in front of a, you know, with a band in front of that sort of crowd. But it was incredible. It was an amazing thing to just sort of be there and be a part of it. And even Tommy, when he came back, was like, how are we going to top that? I don't actually know how to follow that.
that was beautiful bit of audience interaction, and it really got everyone involved.
So I think, like, I mean, look, it's still on in different places around Australia. If your podcast is from Melbourne, or if you're anywhere else, like, look up where the other shows are. I don't have the information in hand where he's going, but he's going to come back to Australia. He basically said that at the end.
Yeah,
they've been wanting to come to Australia for a while. They'd be crazy if they're not at the Opera House or a bigger venue next time.
Definitely.
I think, and it probably just comes down to the fact that they've got a show they have to pick up and move to different cities, and they have a different orchestra they actually work with every night.
3 hours of actual practice, and considering that, they did an amazing job.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, if you're a gamer, you should check it out. I feel like if you love your music, and it sounds very, like, diverse. It sounds like they changed the... one thing they do is that he makes Facebook events for every show so that you can write what songs you'd love to see at the show, and they'll cater set lists based on highly requested things. And so, like, it's totally made for the fans. Like, and I feel like there's going to be different stuff for people every time.
Well, he said that. He's technically never done the same show twice.
Yeah.
Because they'll always mix it up.
And it makes you feel special for the stuff that you are there for. Like, you know, we got to witness that Guitar Hero moment, and which will probably never happen again. So look, check it out. And obviously there's lots of awesome music. We've been playing it a lot on this show, but their soundtracks are great too. If you're a game music buff, there's 4 volumes out there, I think, at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I love them all. So give that a listen, eh? Let's go to some messages and we'll come back, wrap this bad boy up. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. Well, that brings us to the end of another show. Tegan, Tom, thank you guys very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Tom, to get home and
have a sleep. I was going to say specifically.
Have a game.
Tom, you've done a lot. You've done a lot tonight. You've really helped us out.
Well,
people don't realize, but Tom does most of his best work off air. It's been great. It's
very
been
talented.
Stuff thrown in the studio. There's been
punches thrown, literal punches.
In one instance, chemical warfare. But look, it's been a great show. As always, you can follow us on Facebook and the Twitter. That's BigHeadMode2RRR and website BigHeadMode.com.au. Plenty of stuff out there. A YouTube channel as well, where you can see a sketch that we put up this week. You might have seen it on Kotaku. It got picked up by them, which was very cool.
Woo!
Check it out. It's called The Tale of Two Indies. It's a nice one. Sit down, get yourself a cup of tea, have a great time. We'll be back next week. Until then, keep on trucking. Check out Bonus Stage. Hashtag Big Head Moan. Hashtag see you guys next time. Hashtag
Bojack Thoughts.
GTG. Tom, any final words of wisdom, of which you probably have many?
I'm never coming on with Tegan again.
Oh, there we go.
Love you too,
there
Tom.
There we go. Let's play you out with Tommy Tallarico's premiere piece of work. This is a medley based on Earthworm Jim. Till then, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.